morning. Once again, this is Apostle Coletta Jones, pastor of the Rock Christian Church, and we're here giving a word of encouragement during this time of crisis. We know that we've been in the house for many, for weeks on end, and it seems as if no end is coming, and there's so much going on in our community, in our nation, that is confusing and overwhelming to think about when we're going to be able to resume life as we once knew it. We want you to know today that God is still concerned about his people. And the word of the Lord today is to encourage you, to cause you and I to be aware of the fact that nothing that is happening is outside of the realms of what God wants to do in our lives. Today we want to talk about, is God really good all the time? Sometimes as his children, we only think that God is good when life is going the way we want it to go. We only think God is good when everything is falling in line with the plans that we have set. But I want to reiterate to you today that God is good, and he is good all the time. So we want to revisit Psalm 23. Most people know this psalm, and as a child, I learned it in elementary school. So it was one of the things at that time we were we would do the salute to the flag, and we would recite a scripture. And for most of the time, it was something that would be simple. But Psalm 23 was one of those scriptures that we learned, and we continuously did it. So it was embedded in our minds. Remember this thing: God is great. You remember we used to say that when we sat down to eat. God is great. God is good. And we thank him for this food. We learned that as an early age. God's great and God's good. But as we get older and things happen in our lives and we go through times of challenge and losing loved ones and not knowing what tomorrow holds and afraid of what our future looks like, we forget to even think about, in all that's going on, God is still good. Is God good all the time in your life? What about times when you're in pain? Is God good in your pain? What about the times in conflict? Is God good when you're in conflict? What about the times when you're depressed and you don't know how things are going to turn around and you're stressed out and bills are mounting up and you're worried? Is God good all the time? Psalms 105 says, "The Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind, and his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation." I think one of the most important things is we have forgotten how good God is. As I look around and as I observe, we're beginning to come out from our days of quarantine and we're beginning to interact. Even people that have come out, when I looked and saw, the first thing that they said out of their mouths was, I'm bored. I was so bored. I had to get out of the house. I just had to get out and mingle. I don't know what I would do. I didn't hear anybody say, I'm so thankful to God. Of all the people that have died, of the millions that are sick, God is good because, and despite it all, he has blessed me. He has blessed my family. These were not the things that we talked about. We talked about our boredom. We talked about getting back to work. We talked about superficial things. And not the things that we should be most grateful for is the fact that God is still good. Now, the Bible says that God is good all the time. How is that true? How is it true, particularly in the times of this virus? First, I want to show you why focusing on goodness is so important in your life. And why, when you forget to focus on God's goodness, it causes all kinds of stress. It causes us all kinds of problems, and it brings us into all kinds of difficulties. The lack of focusing on God's goodness is the major cause of stress in your life. We're going to see that there are some negative consequences that happens when you and I forget how good God is. One way to understand God's goodness, the Bible tells us, is actually by reading the Bible, listening to the scriptures, hearing a message on it, and then worshiping God, thanking Him for the things He has done. Psalms 34 and 9 says this: worship God if you want the best. You want the best in your life? That's why you need to be a worshiper. Worship God if you want the best, because worship opens the door to all God's goodness. All of His goodness, the way you experience God's goodness, is actually through worship. So what happens when I forget God's goodness? Number one, I start claiming credit for things that God did for me. When I forget about what God has done, when I begin to look around and not see the goodness of God working in my life, then I begin to think what is going on in my life is because of me. I start claiming credit for the things that God did in me, through me, to me, for me, by me, with me. When I do that, then I go down a path that causes depression, because none of us will mount up. None of us will fit the bill. And so when I start taking credit for it, I quickly begin to judge. I quickly begin to become upset by what I feel is not working the way it should. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a story of a very rich man who had been very successful. He made a lot of money. In today's currency, we would say this man was a billionaire. He got it all together. He had what he needed. And then he began to look around and take credit for what he had. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at all of my wealth that I have amassed. Look at all the great. What am I going to do with all this wealth? And then instead of being grateful, he couldn't spend it all. He said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my bonds, and I'm going to build bigger ones so I can make more money, so I can do more, so I can have more. He doesn't give God any credit for what he has attained. He takes it all on himself. He thinks that he did it by himself and of himself. The Bible says that God says to that man, you fool, you fool. God called him a fool. He said, tonight you're going to die, and I'm going to give everything that you've stored up, I'm going to give it to someone else who will appreciate it and express their gratitude to me. It's a sober warning as we look around. And many, many things that I've heard, people are talking about not the value of their life, not the value of their health, not the value of their mental state. But many are upset about what they've lost, their massive money or houses or cars or whatever it may be. That's the thing that's upsetting them. And so what we've done is, during this time, we've put more focus on material things than we have on the goodness of life, the goodness of a mental stable ability, the physical life that we have running through our veins. We have not thanked God for those kinds of things. You know what the number one sin is? The worst sin? Prideful ingratitude. Not being grateful to God for his goodness. The Bible talks about this over and over and over. Pride and ingratitude is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. This is a serious thing, folks. This is something that as I sit and look and all we're talking about, yes, no, none of us want to lose what we have worked to acquire. But that can't be the motivation that we use today for all that is going on. The most important thing is my mental state, my health, things that I cannot put a price on. Those are the things that I need to thank God for. Everything you have in life, everything, you owe it to God. You would not take your next breath if it wasn't for the goodness of God. You wouldn't be able to sit here, sit up, walk, talk, think, hear, see, breathe. So many things that we have heard people say that they've gone into the hospital and come down with this virus, haven't been able to breathe. Many are in comas. Things that you and I don't think about or don't even value because we are so thinking about our material goods and not thinking about how good God is. Everything you have in your life, the ability to see, hear, the ability to eat, the ability to do all the different things, God gave you and I those abilities. I want you to be grateful. This is what God's saying to us. This is what I see, a lack of gratitude, a lack of being grateful. God wants you and I to be grateful, to tell him how much we thank him for what he has done. Did you know that ingratitude is actually one of the roots of atheism? That's when I'm ungrateful. That's when I excuse myself and dismiss and even deny that there is a God. The Bible says this in Romans 1, 20 and 21. Since God created everything, people have always been able to see his goodness. There's that word, see his goodness and power in nature. For instance, we don't have to have the Bible to know that there's a God. Even now, you can look around. All that's going on, the trees are still blooming. Flowers are still coming out. Grass is still growing. Somebody bigger than you and I is in control. We know a lot about God just by looking at nature. The Bible says this, since God created everything, people have always been able to see his goodness and his power in nature. So people really have no excuse. I have to live in denial to deny God's goodness, because the design of the world, looking around in the spring, listen, with all that's going on, spring still kicked in when it was time to kick in. And as we go through this time, it will not keep God from still doing what he does in our seasonal time. Romans 1, 21 says this, they know God exists, but they do not give him credit for all he's made, and they're ungrateful. That's the big problem. That's the big problem even now. Even when we look, even when we looked at the past holidays and how people have come out, all they wanted to do is gratify their own selves, to not be grateful. Oh, I'm not saying that there aren't people that are grateful. I'm not saying that there aren't people. You that are listening to me, I'm going to make the assumption that many of you have been grateful. But I'm talking about as a whole, as a nation, where we have the largest cases of this virus, where we have the largest cases of people who have died from the virus. And those of us that are alive and remain should have an attitude of gratefulness, not taking it up on yourself that you in any way have done anything to deserve the goodness of God. 2 Timothy 3:2 says this, as the end approaches, the end of history, people are going to be self-absorbed. Don't you see that? You know anybody like that? Money hungry, self-promoting, arrogant, profane, rebellious, ungrateful. There's ungratefulness. It's in this long list of sin and have no respect for what is sacred. Does that sound vaguely familiar in this time that we're living? You can see it everywhere you go, where we are selfish, self-centered. This is a time that we reach out to each other. You know, when this started, I know one of the messages that we talked about was reaching out to loved ones, reaching out to your family, calling your family. We should not be so quick to just discard the fact, well, we're going to resume back to where we were. I'm here to tell you, no, we're not going back to where we were. This is a new day. This is a day that we're going to have to adjust. And can I tell you something? And readjust. And readjust. But it's also a time for each of us who call ourselves and declare that we are children of God to realize how great, how good God is. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, what do you have that God hasn't given you? I can answer that, nothing. Everything you have, everything. You say, no, I did this on my own. Everything. You get up in the morning breathing his air with his strength. Whether you're staying in the house, many in this particular area that we live in, many of our own members have been able to keep your jobs. I'm telling you, that's something to thank God for. I'm telling you that we should be so grateful to God for him sparing us and giving us another chance. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. If God did not exist, you would not exist. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, what do you have that God hasn't given you? If all you have is from God, then why do you act like though you're so great, as though you accomplish all on your own? God is a good God. Number two, I stop asking God for help. That's a big problem. Because when you forget how eager God is to help you, how good God is, you start depending on yourself and you stop asking God for things in prayer. God wants to help you. He wants to help me. God is waiting to help us. We must understand that he's a father, our father. He's my father. And there is no father that loves his children, want to see his children in need, particularly when he has the capacity to help them to achieve what it is they're trying to achieve. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Over and over, God wants you to ask for whatever you need in prayer. Well, you say, I only want to go to God for the big stuff. I don't want to go to him and have to pray to him about the small stuff. Everything is small to God. None of your requests are big to God. It's no big deal. Every request is small in his power. God says, I want you to ask. You know, I say this all the time. We only go to God for things that we think we can't do. The things that we think we can do and think we have a handle on it, we don't go to God. We don't pray to him. We go right on and do it. And many times we make a mess because we have not consulted. We not asked him, or the way we went about getting it, there was a better way. And because we didn't go to the one who knew the way, we depended on our way, which caused confusion and trouble. And so God is saying here, I want you to talk to me about everything. When you forget God's goodness, you know what happened? Then we forget to pray. Your prayers become timid and weak, wimpy prayers. Sometimes you're praying in a hurry. Sometimes you're praying with your mind on other things. You're not focused. You're not really thinking about the fact that I'm asking God, that I'm talking to God, and He wants me to talk to Him about everything. God, I need money for the car payment. God, I need help over here. God, we're running out of food. The shelves at the store are empty. Show me, direct me. You know what He'll do? He'll wake you up early in the morning, say, this is the time, get up, go. If we just stop complaining, stop murmuring, stop always deciding before we consult with Him, His way is so much better. Do you trust God more than you did in January or 2 or 3 years ago? I'm telling you what has happened from January to now. My trust should be deeper. My trust should be that what God has already done, my paycheck, everything is working. I'm going to stop complaining and I'm going to give God my trust. How does God grow faith and trust in your life? The exact same way a child learns to trust a parent. It's the exact same process. First, it recognizes an unmet need. I'm at the bottom of the stairs. I got to get to the top. I can't get there. I need help. The child, step one, recognizes that they can't do it. Step two, he expresses the need, usually by crying or yelling, because he doesn't have the words. Yet they know that they need help from someone in the house, mama, daddy. So what does the child do? Cry. Begins to cry to get the parent's attention. Guess what happens? Immediately that parent comes out, a loving parent, and said, what's wrong? What do you need? You want to go up the steps? Sometimes they can't even talk and tell you what they want, but they're standing there looking up. You know what you do as a parent? You pick them up, or you, even if you can't pick them up, you take them by the hand and say, come on, I'll walk with you up the steps. Think about a baby who's dirty, can't talk, but want to be changed. That baby cries. Immediately, that parent is aware that that child has a need. Immediately, because the child is crying, that parent comes and see about what that child needs, and then says, oh baby, you need changing. And immediately that parent changed. Guess what happens after you change it? The baby becomes calm. He lays there smiling because without even words, you understood as a parent that there was a need and you were able to meet it. This is the same way God teaches us to trust Him. You have an unmet need in your life. You express that unmet need to God. God meets the need, and you learn to trust Him the more. The more you do it, the more you trust. You do it over again, you trust more. And if you're not expressing your need to God, then guess what? You're not growing in your trust to God. If you just come to Him with those promises, I promise if you do this, I will do that. That's just once in a while. But look at the chaos you could avoid in your life. If you start learning, if He helped me out of something and I made a promise and He came to my rescue, if I learn to trust Him, if I learn to go to my Father about everything, about every prayer request, my Father is going to come to my rescue. Now, He might not work it out the way you want it worked out. I guarantee you He's not going to do it the way you want it done. But if you trust that your Father knows best and trust Him, The way he work it out will bring glory to his name. If you're not asking God to meet your needs through prayer, you're not growing and you're not learning to trust him. How long has it been since you said something like this to God? God, I know you're a good God. God, I know you want to meet my needs. You told me over and over you'll meet my needs. Well, here's one. There's nothing too big or too small. And if it's big enough to worry you about, then it's big enough for you to pray about. And worry won't solve it, but prayer will. You ask God and then you say, wait patiently for God's timing to deliver. That's a real point, real important part. I can't pray today and expect he's going to do it the next minute. I've got to be patient that God's got my back, that God is going to do it. He might not do it the way I've asked. He might not do it the way I feel in my mind. But I've got to have the confidence to know that if I pray, he hears me. And if he hears me, then I have the petition for which I have asked. Immaturity in your walk is when I expect God to be like Santa Claus. I expect him to show up and do what I want him to do when I want him to do it. Remember this, a delay is not denial. A delay is not denial. That's maturity when you understand the difference between delay and denial. God won't always give it to you immediately. He wants you to wait. St. Luke 11:13 says this, if you, as imperfect parents, know how to give good gifts. There's that word good again, the goodness of God. If you, as imperfect parent, knows how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who, by the way, is perfect, give good gifts to those who ask him? You have not because you ask not. And here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly. I like this one. Don't be ashamed. Don't say, well, that's awful. How can I tell God that? He said, listen, come to me and tell me anything. Haven't you had friends in your life? You said, girl, I don't want to say this. Oh, God, man, I can't say this. This sounds so horrible. But they said, oh, come on, you can tell me. You can tell me anything. That's what God's saying. You can tell me anything, any situation, you can tell me. Hebrews 4:16 said, let us come boldly to the throne of our good and gracious God. Boldly. God is good. God is gracious. So we can come boldly. I can just walk up. There we will receive his mercy and find the grace to help us when we need it. He's right there. If I come to him, he's right there. So what motivates God to answer your prayer? David tells us in Psalm 69:16, says this, answer me, O God, out of the goodness of your love. Everything God does for you, for me, through you, to you, and in you, he does because he is a good God. God is good to bad people. They get to breathe the same air you and I are. I don't care how much they get on your nerves. I don't care what things they've done in this life. Think about it. There are people that have done hideous things, but God didn't cut them off right away. They were able every time. He extended time so that they could come into the kingdom. There's a third negative consequence that happens when you forget how good God really is. I stop trusting God in difficult times. That's where we are now. We're in difficult times. I stop trusting God. You start looking at circumstances. You start becoming more dependent upon what you see and hear on your television set or on your news channel. that you forget that God is in control. Every time you had a need, you'd automatically talk to God about it. It was nature. It was just what you did. You wouldn't try to solve it yourself first. You'd go to God first. You'd ask God first. God, I need your help. I need a job. I need this. I need that. Whatever it is, you just go to God instantly. I'd be your first choice, not your last one. Psalm 16, 1 through 2 says this, protect me, God, because I trust in you. You are my Lord, and every good thing I have comes from you. Don't ever forget that. Romans 5, 3 says, Paul says this, you know, we can have joy even in our troubles. When was the last time? I know we haven't been able to come to church, but when was the last time you just stood up in your house, raised your hands, and out of the abundance of gratitude, gave God praise for you being alive, for him not allowing things that could have happened? Because let me tell you something. You don't know who you walked by. You don't know who walked by you. You don't know if the germ was on something you picked up from the store. But here you are, healthy, your right mind. Here you are. Might not have everything you want, but God has supplied your needs. He wants some gratitude. He wants you and I to give him some thanks. Because he is good, even in what we consider bad times. God is good. God has a good purpose, and he has a good plan, and he has a good reason. Even in difficult times, God, you're a good God, because I know you're going to use this to produce character and patience and hope in my life. Romans 8, 28, and I hope you do not forget this, and we know that in everything. Not some things, not the good things. We know that in everything, in this time, in this season, in what's going on right now, that God works for the good. For the good, not for the bad. For the good of those who love him and are called according to his good purpose. Even in these times, I still know God is good. I know he has a good purpose. God has a good plan. Don't you think, because all that's going on over the world, that God is still not in control? God is in control. It might not look like it. And from our daily reports, it might not seem like it. But I'm telling you, God is in control, and he's working it all out for good. Not everything that happens in your life or even now is good. There is a lot of bad. God can take even the bad and then bring good out of it. And that builds trust in him. There's one other negative consequence when we forget how good God is to you. You just forget it. You start claiming credit for things that God did that you didn't do. He did it through you. You stop asking God for help. You stop trusting God in difficult times. And the fourth thing that happens when we forget God's goodness, I become pessimistic about the future. When you forget how good God really is, you become pessimistic about the future. You lose hope, become hopeless. Because hope is based on the goodness of God. Even now with all that's going on, you have hope. God, you're in control. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you because I know you're in control. You're not arrogant with it. You're not talking about, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. It couldn't happen to me, because it could have happened to you. But in spite of it all, you're grateful to God. And you have hope, And you're thankful that he's watched out for you, watched out for your family, watched out for those that are around you, watched out for you every time you exited the door and came back in the house. God was watching out for you. Psalms 27, the connection between hope and the goodness of God. 27, 13, 14. I would have despaired, he said. I would have been despaired. I would have been in total despair unless I had believed that I see the goodness. There it is, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Despite all that have died, despite the numbers that are continuing to rise, despite the foolishness that I see, the ungratefulness that I see, I'm going to be one that I'm going to look at the goodness of God. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for food in my refrigerator. Thank you, God, for keeping me healthy. He says, instead, I thought, wait for the Lord. Wait. I don't see that answer right now. Wait. It don't look like it's coming. Wait. I don't know if I have a job. Wait. I'm going to wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes. Wait for the Lord. He says, don't get in a hurry. God is a good God. You've made the request. You've asked him. You've done it in prayer. Now wait. He said, the difference between a delay and a denial. Do you ever do this? Do you get so in a hurry that you don't have time to give God time to answer you? You just pray and keep moving. And you know what you keep moving doing? I'm working it out. I'm doing it my way. I figure it out. I can't wait because God's taking too long. He says, no, just wait. If you wait, it's going to save you some steps. If you wait, it's going to save you some sleepless nights. If you wait and know that I'm working on your behalf, despite what your eyes see, because I've already told you I'm with you. I've already told you that my goodness is following you. I've already told you that if you pray, I will answer you. I just need you to sit down, be quiet. Let me be God. Let me take it over for you. I don't even think about that. I go out, I put it on credit. You know, it's just, I gotta have it. I gotta have it now. So something that God would have worked out for me, totally different. I went on, yeah, I prayed, yeah, I asked, but it was taking too long. So I went on and did it myself. So what happened? I ended up in debt for something that I didn't have to be. That had I just waited on God, not been in a hurry, God, I really want to get married. God, I really want a house. God, I really want a better job. God, I really want. No, he says, I just need you to be patient. Let the calmness of God, let the peace of God overshadow you. Most of the problems in our life comes from our inability to delay gratification. I want it. And I want it right now. That's called, in the Christendom, impatience, immaturity. I'm never going to mature in the things of God because I'm always operating in a hurry. Always want it and want it now. I want it right now. I don't want to wait for it. I don't want God to produce or put anything in me. I don't want patience to have a perfect work. I don't want this time of waiting to be a time that I just lay before God and allow God to use me. No, I want him to do it now. And so what I do is when he doesn't move like I think he should, just think about it with all the people in the world. And if God had to move at everybody's whim, he would never be available. Because when you needed him, he would be off with somebody else because everybody's calling him at the same time. But he's saying, I just want you to know I'm inexhaustible. You can't put me in a box. You can't tell me when, where, and how. But I need you to trust me. And I need you to trust me with an attitude of gratitude. I need you to know I'm working on your behalf. If you're fighting depression these days, and there are many that are fighting mental illness, feel like the walls are coming in on you, I challenge you to put on a praise tape and to allow the praise of God, worship of God, to begin to just permeate out of you, giving God some praise for what he has done. Look at these weeks. Maybe you are out now. Maybe you are deciding that I just can't stand this no more. But I caution you, we need to be prayerful before we make one step. If you're fighting depression, if you're fighting discouragement, if you're fighting doubt these days, you're fighting despair, I'm going to tell you to do two things. Number one, start focusing on all the ways that God has been good to you. Get your eyes off of the problems and get your eyes on all the things that God has already done. Make a list. Count your blessings. Write them down. Make a list of all the ways that God is good in your life and focus on that. Hope is anticipating God's goodness. I want to say that again. Hope is anticipating God's goodness. The only reason you have hope is because God is a good God. If God is not a good God, then there is no radical, rational, logical reason for hope, because we're all up a creek right now without a paddle. We're all on our own if I don't have Christ to guide me, knowing that he's the hope of glory. The foundation of all hope is the goodness of God. If God is not a good God, you don't have any hope, not for the future. You remember this verse? We memorized it in one of the previous campaigns that we did, and I hear people say it all the time. So I want to quote it for you today. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." God has a plan for your life. You're still here because God has a plan for you. You're still breathing because God has a plan for you. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good." Why? Because he's a good God. God only has good plans for your life. He does not have bad plans for your life. He only has good plans for your life. You can miss those plans. A lot of people miss God's plan for their life because they're doing their own plan. And then he says, "The plans I have for you are good plans, plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Hope is tied to goodness of God. And the more you understand God's goodness, the more hopeful you're going to be in your life. I'm going to read the verse again. We read it earlier. Psalms 27, 13, 14. "I would have despaired. I would have despaired about my life, about everything." Listen here. If I didn't think about the goodness of God over these weeks, 9+, I would have despaired. I would have been paranoid. I would not have been able to sleep. I'd have been so afraid. But I have not despaired about negative. I would have despaired unless I believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I have a future because of God's goodness. Instead of despairing, I thought, wait for the Lord. Wait on him. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Get up. Take on courage. Take on encouragement. Say to yourself, "I'm still here, for I'm walking in the purpose of God." Psalm 23 lists 9 different benefits of God's goodness to you. And if you have a moment and can write them down, because I want you just to see these things that God is already doing. It says, number one, he will meet my need when I'm worried. because God is good. He will meet all my needs when I'm worried. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. He meets my needs, even when I'm worried. Number two, he will teach me to relax when I'm stressed out. He will teach me how to relax when I'm stressed out. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is a metaphor for peace and tranquility. Isn't it a wonderful thing that when we trust God, that when we know that the Lord is our shepherd, that he brings peace in this time of uncertainty? He makes me to lie down. Has God ever had to make you lie down because you were not smart enough to lie down on your own? You're working so much. You're burning the candle at both ends, and you're not as bright as you think you are. He makes you lie down. He just stopped everything. Here we started the year out, same old thing, New Year's resolution, church revival, all the things we normally do. And in a matter of weeks and days, God says, stop. Everything became to a halt. Everything. I don't care how much they wanted it not to be. Everything. He forced it. And he didn't force it for us to take this time to be ungrateful, to be worried, to be upset. No. He's teaching you how to relax. And you're stressed. He wants you just to chill, as the kids say. Number three, because God is good, he will replenish my strength when I'm empty. The truth be told, some of you are out of gas. You've been running on fumes for miles. The Bible says, he restores my soul. Most of the modern translation says, he gives me new strength. Some I've talked to. Some have even been in the family. This has been the longest time where they couldn't go nowhere, couldn't run here, run there. You've had to just maintain, sit, so he could restore your strength. Give you a dose of iron to cause your life in him to take on a new meaning. I've got sustenance. He meets my needs when I'm worried. I've got balance. He's going to teach me how to relax. Then I got resilience because he restores my soul. He fills me up when I'm empty. Number four, he will guide me when I'm confused. Nothing stresses you out as much as indecision. You've got guidance. He guides me in the right path for his namesake because he is a good God. He's not playing games with us. Number five, he will walk with me in my dark and fearful days. Because God is good, he will walk with me. He's not going to leave me alone. You know, during this time, we've had members that were in the hospital. We had families that had other members that were in the hospital. God was right there. He was there to give us a hope. He was there to lift us up, to hold us up, because God is a good God. He will walk with me. He's not going to leave me. He didn't leave us. We're going to go through some dark days ahead. He's not finished. This thing is not over. More death is coming. More situations are coming. But you're going to go through it even in these fearful times. You're going to go, because it says here, listen what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. If God is with you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Number six, he will protect me when I feel insecure. The Bible says in verse 4 of Psalms 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That doesn't mean anything to you because you don't know that the rod and staff are the two tools of a shepherd in leading sheep. Those tools are given to a shepherd for the benefit of the sheep. I'll explain that as we proceed further. But those are things that are applicable to us, and they help us to know God is assurance, and help us to know that his rod and his staff is right there for us. Number seven, he will publicly show his favor on my life. God wants to put favor on your life. Favor is another term for goodness. It's another term for God's grace. God wants to show favor when you have a favorite child or when you have a favorite status in economic trade. You get privilege nobody else gets. I have the favor of God on my life. I had God's favor on my life since I was a young woman. I know it, I feel it, and other people can see it. I'm not arrogant with it. I'm not proudful with it, but I'm so humble that God has not only shown favor to me, but to my family, to my children, grandchildren, great-grand. He has kept us doing this time. God, I says, I publicly show my favor in your life. This is what God is saying. I will show, and I want you to be humble about it. I don't want you to be arrogant. Well, I was blessed. No, I want you to be humbled about it. You prepare a banquet for me in front of all my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He says, I'm not just going to meet your needs. You'll have abundance. There's many, even during this time, you've been blessed. Number eight, he will be good to me no matter what happened. Other people may not be good to you in the future, but God will. You can count on him. You can count on his consistency. You can count on the goodness of God. He doesn't turn on and off. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I don't know what's going to happen in my life, and you don't know what's going to happen in yours. But goodness and mercy will be with you. God's goodness will be with you, and God's mercy will be with you. And number nine, he will take me to heaven one day. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a long time, forever. That is the goodness of God, because God is a good God. God wants to give you a life of sustenance. He'll meet my needs when I'm worried, a life of balance. He'll teach me how to relax when I'm stressed out. Excuse me. God wants to give you a life of resilience. He'll replenish my strength when I'm empty. He wants to give you a life of guidance. He'll guide me when I'm confused. He wants to give you a life of confidence. He'll walk with me through my darkest days. He wants to give you, because he's good, a good God, assurance. He'll protect me when I feel insecure. He wants to give you a life of influence. He will publicly show his favor on your life if you'll trust him. He wants to give you a life of abundance. Your cup will run over. He wants to give you a life of benevolence. Goodness and mercy will be with me. He will be good to me the rest of my life. And he wants to give you an inheritance. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? Everybody needs what God has to offer. We're just looking for it in all the wrong places. We're expecting those needs to be met by our careers, by our bank accounts, our relationships, our marriages, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. God says, no, it's me. I'm it. I'm the source of all goodness in your life. You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking to the wrong person. You make anybody else the source of your goodness in your life, you call that an idol. Who does not need this? Everybody needs it. Everybody wants it. Where do I get all those good benefits? From the Lord, who is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. who is the shepherd? Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the shepherd. John 10, 10 and 11 says, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd. I'm it. That's what Jesus is saying. I am the good shepherd. He's either telling the truth or he's lying. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. All of those benefits are only available to you because you're good, because God is good. Not because you're good, because God is good. Isaiah 49, 15, 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? No, mom's going to forget a nursing child. No mother's going to do that. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion for the child she has born? No. Though she may forget, God says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah says that hundreds of years before Jesus Christ died on the cross, and they'll put nails in his hand. Remember, did you know that God has a tattoo on you? I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. This is how much he loves you. This is how much he loves me. This is how much he loves us. This is how good I am to you. I want to say to you, God is good, and he really is good all the time. All of us have had hurts in our lives. All of us have had things happen to us that have brought pain to us. But even in those times, God was still good, and his mercy endureth forever. I ask you today, rethink about what's happening. Re-see it from a different place. Understand that, as Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things are working together. For what? For my good, according to his purpose. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We really do, for you being the good shepherd. And I ask that you teach us to not be caught up in a system that we can see is not working. Let us focus our attention to know that you are the shepherd and that you are concerned about every sheep. Let us deny ourselves. Let us take up our cross and let us follow after you. We thank you in Jesus' name. I pray today that you'll take a moment out and thank the good shepherd that's been watching over you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.